Since the Brooklyn Bridge was completed in 1883, many major poets, including Hart Crane, the great Russian poet Vladimir Mayakovsky, the great Spanish poet Federico Garcia Lorca, Jack Kerouac, Marianne Moore, Charles Reznikoff, Harvey Shapiro, Daniela Joseffi, Alfred Korn, Cynthia Hoag, Gray Shulman, have paid poetic tribute to it. So it's absolutely fitting that Poets House has been conducting an annual poetry walk across the Brooklyn Bridge over the years, featuring some of America's finest poets. The participants tonight are Vijay Seshadri, who is the winner of the 2014 Pulitzer Prize in Poetry, Thomas Lux, Naomi Shahab Nye, and Mark Doty, who will be giving a sunset reading of Walt Whitman's Crossing Brooklyn Ferry. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Mark Doty back to our show, along with Lee Perchetti, the executive director of Poets House. Hello.
Hello. Hi. Thank you.
Mark, do you have any idea of why the Brooklyn Bridge has inspired so many poets? I'm not aware of any poems about the Manhattan Bridge or the Williamsburg Bridge, although Paul Simon did write a song about the 59th Street Bridge. I don't know if he would have called it the Edward Koch Bridge if
it had been
called that at the time.
I do think that there is a Frank O'Hara poem celebrating the Williamsburg Bridge, or at least an apartment near it. The Brooklyn Bridge is a great, beautiful arc across the river. You know, the emblem of modernity, of something connecting separate worlds, of bringing the city together.
And it's been suggested that the Brooklyn Bridge serves as a metaphor for the consolidation of New York City. And is that a reason that you'll be reading Walt Whitman's Crossing Brooklyn Ferry, although he wrote that before Brooklyn Bridge was built?
I think it's more than consolidation. It's something about the spirit of New York coming into being, being inscribed. Whitman is crossing that ferry, talking to whoever will write it in the future, generations ahead, more and more and more. And he knows that he is part of that great human stream. And, you know, what is it to be a part of New York City except to feel so connected to the ongoing rush of human life?
Well, Crossing Brooklyn Ferry almost sounds like a poem about the Brooklyn Bridge, except that there was no Brooklyn Bridge at the
exactly.
time. He did see the bridge being built, didn't he?
He did indeed. On a return visit, he would have seen that.
And you'll be reading it near Jane's Carousel in Brooklyn Bridge Park. Have you been there? It's gorgeous, 1922 Carousel.
Beautiful.
Lee, how did the idea for these walks come about?
Well, one of our co-founders, Elizabeth Cray, was a visionary, and she created many public service programs for poetry. But one of the things that she did was also create walking tours throughout New York. So this is a way to acknowledge her and also bring really a group of poetry pilgrims to listen to the great poems about New York in the places that they celebrate. So we usually start at City Hall Park and hear great poems to send us off, and hear poems then on the bridge this year at the Second Gothic Arch, and then hear Crossing Brooklyn Ferry is really, in a way, the poetic destination.
And this is one of Poets House's major annual fundraising events?
Yes, it is.
Do you find a lot there are enough people out there who are willing to spend money to celebrate poetry these days?
We usually have a parade of 350 people, and we certainly meet bicyclists and people, passersby on the bridge, who are surprised and delighted, I think. And that's also part, I think, of what the Bridge Walk does, is invite people into an experience of poetry. Many people who may not know that they love poetry have an experience that that gives them a discovery.
Mark, that must warm your heart just a bit, that there are so many people who still care.
Poets House warms my heart. You know, for much of my life, poetry took place in the church basement or the back corner of the library. And here's this beautiful space dedicated to our art, one that's open to anybody who wants to just come in and read, spend time around books of poems.
Well, you mentioned that you usually start near City Hall. Actually, this year at that little park next to the municipal building where WNYC was located for many years. But it's interesting that you don't begin where at the side of Poets House because it's on the wrong side of Manhattan.
Well, because it makes the walk maybe slightly too long. We have many people saying, some year, let's walk over the bridge and take a ferry back to Poets House and have the party there. So we'll see what we have cooking up for the 20th anniversary, which will be next year.
Well, Poets House has an incredible space, and you look out at the Hudson River.
Yeah, it's a full block of windows on the Hudson. We're, it's hard to believe, but we're coming up upon our fifth anniversary in this brand new space, and year by year making it more and more full and animated with activity, and yet there are also places for interior life and interior conversations with poems. It's really beautiful to see it take life.
This is the 19th annual walk, although wasn't last year it's canceled because of serious flooding?
We're still counting last year. yes, alas, it was not just the rain, but our flooded tent that brought more of a water theme because real tears were shed. and sadly, $12,000 worth of ribs were donated to charity that night. So
because this ends with a dinner.
This ends with a dinner, yeah.
This in this case, it'll be in 26 Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful new party space. Never say the word tent to me again. Mm-hmm. Has a beautiful roof over our heads, and we'll have a wonderful one of the things.
It's in Dumbo.
One of the things that we're very excited about this year is bringing Anita Norman up, and she is the champion of the National Poetry Recitation Competition for high school students. She's coming from Arlington, Tennessee. She's one of 400,000 students who participated, and she'll be reciting a Stanley Kunitz poem.
Hmm. Well, last year, as we said, was rained out. You don't seem to be doing well with weather, although I doubt that there'll be flooding this year.
No.
But what happens if it's still raining at 6:30 when the event begins?
Well, we will probably make a rain call this afternoon. If it's really raining, we'll meet at the party venue and we'll do our program as a figurative walk.
So that's it. You wouldn't just postpone it and do it another time?
No.
Mark, will you be reading any of your own poems along the way, or are you only going to read the Walt Whitman?
I will read the Walt Whitman first, and then towards the end of the evening, several of the poets who are speaking will read one of their own poems.
Uh-huh. And you'll be one of them.
I will.
Whenever we talk about poetry, we get mixed response from our listeners. I can't imagine a world without poetry, and yet, in fact, it seems to be one of the earliest impulses of humans to write poetry, because poetry was written before there was any writing, and yet it continues to be, always struggling along. Does any poet live off of his or her writing?
Well, most poets make a living through teaching. I think poetry thrives out there on the margins. It's never going to be a mass market art, but it's going to be something that people care about so deeply they seek it out, something that we turn to at times of crisis, when we're in love, when we're in a state of despair. What's the language people reach for first? You know, that which can serve as a container for feeling.
We invite our listeners to join in the conversation. Our number here is 212-433-9692. To hear your thoughts about poetry and also celebrating the Brooklyn Bridge. 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or also on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Lee, this is your 25th anniversary. There's another celebration here.
Yeah,
your 25th
almost.
Anniversary as executive director of the Poets House?
Yeah. You know, I tend to think of myself as someone who might have a problem with commitment. But every 3 or 4 years, it's been a different organization, and we have made new things happen, and we're a community, really, of people who are passionate about inviting people into an experience of language. And to your earlier point about people being nervous about poetry, yes, we do see some of that, and that's why a place, I think, like Poets House needs to exist, to invite people in. I think when people cross our threshold, they have an experience that they weren't expecting.
Well, first of all, they come across a 60,000 volume poetry library.
Yeah.
And you let anybody, it's not like some libraries where you Oh, don't touch that book.
No, it's actually a great creative space with a library as incubator for creativity. It's one of the great poetry collections in the country, free and open to everyone, great Wi-Fi. If you're visiting New York, it's a great place to come and visit and look out and have a moment to reflect. If you're visiting the 9/11 Memorial, it's a great place to come and really think about what it means to you and try and find words that reach you.
How did you wind up in Battery Park?
Oh, it's through hard work, good friends, and poetry karma. You know, I think we had a relationship with Battery Park City for almost 20 years because there are poems engraved in the concrete around the lily pond. One of them is a Seamus Heaney poem. And 20 years ago, we called the people up and said, someone here likes poetry. And the CEO, David Emile, said, yeah, it's me. So we started programming there when there was nothing there, no buildings. It was grass. So we had a long relationship with that spot and worked hard to put a business plan together to be the place that would be selected for that spot.
Let's take a call. Excuse me, Tony from Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Yeah,
we're not crossing. We're not walking across the George Washington Bridge. But can you walk across the George Washington Bridge?
Yes, you can. I cycle the George Washington and the Brooklyn Bridge, and I have to tell you, it's there's no comparison. And I'm from Jersey. Brooklyn Bridge rules. just a beautiful piece of architecture, and we love the George Washington. But before I ask my question, does anybody know why they're locks. There's hundreds and hundreds of actual locks that are on the Brooklyn Bridge. I don't know if that has anything to do with romance or people making wishes. I don't know if anybody knows that question, but that's not the question statement I was going to make, but it just popped into my mind.
I would guess there's a tradition I know throughout Europe of the love locks.
Oh, that's what I thought.
You see them in Paris on bridges.
And you see them in Rome, too.
Right. My question, if you can speak to it, or my statement is, and I'm a fan of poetry and actually a fan of hip-hop and rap music, and there's just an obvious, in my mind, a parallel between the two, and maybe cousins, or your thoughts on modern-day hip-hop, rap music, and really, in essence, it is poetry at its core, and there are some songs out there that are just rap songs that are essentially just a drum machine, not even any kind of synthesized music other than just a beat and someone quote-unquote rapping. But I would make the argument that's our modern-day poetry. And if you could just speak to that, thank you.
Poetry is always out to turn language into music. We want the reader or the listener to feel the urgency and intensity and pleasure of rhythm. You know, the difference is that when you have music, you have that immediacy. A note can make you feel a certain mood very, very quickly. A writer has to work a little differently with language to create some of that same kind of feeling.
Well, there have been arguments over whether someone like Bob Dylan is a poet or whether he writes memorable lyrics. You could just as easily say that about Ira Gershwin or Cole Porter or Irving Berlin, a whole bunch of others. But there is a difference, isn't there?
Well, I'm happy to say that poetry is a big house, and there are rooms that are devoted to those poets who are purists of the word, who have no tool except that word on the page or that spoken word. And then there are poets who make use of all kinds of other things.
I would say not poetry, but poetries. There are a multitude of poetries, and I think as Whitman bade us, come and sift for yourself. I think that's what we want to encourage, is people coming and having an experience with language and finding things that mean something to them.
And Whitman even talked about writing a song to himself.
He did. And in fact, he called that song to himself a language experiment. So,
well,
very much out to play.
In your memoir, Firebird, you wrote, "I believe that art saved my life." Well, I don't know where we go from that statement.
Here I am.
Do you think that art saves people's lives?
I think art validates our interiority. It says who you are on the inside is real. Other people might be able to see it too. You can give form to yourself in a way that is often difficult to do otherwise. I think art's a way of speaking out of silence, bringing language where there perhaps was none before.
Why then do you think that the arts get such short shrift in our schools these days? When I was a kid, we had to memorize poems. I'm not saying that was a good thing, but poetry was definitely taught a lot more in the schools in those days than today.
Yeah. You probably still know those poems, or some of them, I would guess.
Just one or two.
Will you? Will you say a line?
Do you find a lot of kids coming to Poets House?
Oh, we have. Last year we had 14,000 kids with their parents and teachers come on free class trips. I think it was in many ways the experience that got them to realize that poetry is alive. I think art does save lives, and certainly
you're not a poet yourself.
I am a poet, and I think that one of the things that I've seen happen over and over again with students that we work with is that when kids have an exciting experience with putting their words out there, they're getting closer to the reasons why we read and write to begin with, to be heard, to listen to other people, to have an intimate conversation with someone else.
For details, or how to make reservations, there's still time?
There is.
People can contact Krista Manrique at 212-431-7920 or krista@poetshouse.org. We have another call coming in that I want to put on the air. Bob from Eagle Park, hi, you're on the air. Bob, can you be quick?
You know, I love scriptures, whether it's the Bhagavad Gita, Quran, the Christian Bible. I see it all as poetry, metaphors, and if people looked at that, they wouldn't look at it as dogma rather than see it as beautiful poetry. Do you guys agree with that?
It is beautiful poetry. Language raised to its highest power. Poetry speaking from the deepest wells of human knowledge.
In the beginning was the word.
Now, I mentioned earlier that this is also a fundraiser.
Yes.
People who have get the dinner as well. The people who are just walking across the bridge get to take part of it even though they are not paying you?
Yes, they can come we'll see, of course, if it's raining hard, we may meet at 26 Bridge Street. But it's a public place. That's part of the fun, is bumping into people.
Well, if it isn't raining hard, the 19th Annual Poetry Walk Across the Brooklyn Bridge starts at 6:30 p.m. right next to the Municipal Building. Mark Doty will be there, Lee Brichetti, the executive director of Poets House, along with Thomas Lux, also Pulitzer Prize winner Vijay Seshadri, and Naomi Shahab Nye. Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you.